Chapter 6. A few months later, Marjorie borrowed some money from her Aunt Dottie and bought a car. She learned that Rocky had sold the 56 Chevy that they had bought together in favor of a newer model, and she tracked down the person that bought the car and overpaid to get it back. She was back at work now, waitressing across the street from their apartment. Her customers remembered her and welcomed her back with 50-cent tips and sometimes an entire dollar. Life was developing a new pattern, and Ron began to feel settled in. One summer night when he got home from stickball under the parking lots of the Davis Pharmaceutical Company, Marjorie said, "Come on, we're going for a ride." They put the top down on the convertible, and they drove up to Newark City Stadium and across Roosevelt Avenue. Ron stiffened in the seat next to her when he realized where they were heading. "Why are we going to the Cat and Sparrow House?" he asked. "Don't you miss seeing Sally and Honey and Anthony?" "I don't know," said Ron. "Why haven't they called us?" "They're in a tough spot. Rocky is their family." "Yeah," said Ron. "They used to say that about us, too." "When they see you, that's exactly how they'll feel," said Marjorie. She didn't tell him that she had been speaking to Honey Chappelle and that she promised to be there when she and Ron arrived. There was a bond between Honey and Marjorie. Though she loved her Uncle Rocky with an undying loyalty and worship, it had been Marjorie who had gone to bat for her when she had gotten pregnant and her father Anthony wanted to ship her off somewhere so that the problem could be taken care of. Then he would visit Vincent Chappelle with his brothers and teach the young prick some manners. Marjorie had stood up to Anthony in his own house. Honey's mother wasn't able to do anything but cry and say that her husband knew best. Marjorie had gone there right after that night and reasoned and begged and had the audacity to say that it didn't matter that Vincent was only half Italian and that she knew that they were in love and that he would make her a good husband. Marjorie had even outflanked him by bringing Rocky's mother into it, by telling her that her granddaughter wanted to get married and that someone needed to talk sense into Anthony. What was done, and there was no reason to make a mistake into a tragedy. Rocky had quietly endured being told that he should tell his girlfriend to shut her big mouth and stop meddling in things that she didn't understand. But Marjorie had prevailed, and Honey was now married, and her husband was back from the Marines and had a good job as an electrician. Honey promised that she would never forget what Marjorie had done for her. She'd just turned 17 when all that had happened 5 years ago, and something that was rewritten by the Catanzaro family history by everyone except Honey. Sally Catanzaro's face registered shock when she saw Marjorie and Ron at her back door. The back door was for family, and no one ever rang that bell. They just knocked as they walked in. Sally forced a smile at them. She had been Ron's favorite, and he felt the rush of good feeling when he saw her smooth face and wanted to feel her warm hands hugging him the way they always had. He advanced toward her for his hug, but she took a step back and put her hand out to ward him off. Ron stood there with his arms open and wondered if she had a cold and that she was afraid to pass it along to him. It was awkward. Marjorie and Sally's eyes met, and then Sally looked over her shoulder almost fearfully, and then at Ron. Confusion was spreading across his face like the stain of a drink that had been spilled on a dinner's tablecloth. Finally, She hugged him stiffly. Ron felt the stiffness and pulled back. She did not meet his eyes either. Marjorie, we didn't expect you. Honey came into the room and hugged Marjorie warmly. Sally retreated further back against her stove. Marjorie and Honey laughed, and Marjorie said that Honey looked so good when she was pregnant. Vincent feels that way, too, laughed Honey. Ron saw Sally flush with embarrassment, and he understood that something was very wrong here. He wanted to lead, but they hadn't even really gotten into the house. Anthony's heavy footsteps plodded into the kitchen. He was still wearing his uniform shirt and pants from mechanic's overall, where he was a root rodder. Now had his brother-in-law Rocky for a supervisor. His eyes met Marjorie, and he stopped in his tracks, unsure of what to do. He was on his way for a beer, but the outsiders were standing in front of the refrigerator. Without greeting them, he said to his daughter, "Get me a Miller," and turned to go back to the TV. Marjorie stood there, stunned. Ron said, "Hello, Anthony. Don't you see me?" "I see you, kid. You look okay," he said over his shoulder. Ron was ill at ease, very confused. He saw a Cookie by her dog bed, went to her. Dog wagged her tail and licked Ron's face. He got down on the floor and nuzzled her. The women stood there watching him. "I guess this wasn't such a good idea," said Marjorie. Sally said, "Don't feel that way. You know how Anthony is. He doesn't like surprises. You should call first. And maybe it would be better if you came during the day when he was at work, you know? Just until he gets used to the idea." Ron wanted to ask if Connie, their younger sister, on whom he had a crush, was in her favorite spot in the basement. But maybe that wasn't such a good idea either.